Test, test. Oh, thank you.
Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Okay, so we start, I'll start like we're starting right now?
Okay.
Okay, so now we can actually put this on tape. Those in favor of changing our name to Diabetic Action Network of New York, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Thank you very much. And that will conclude our business meeting for this session, unless there are other questions. Oh, no, there's one more thing. I'm sorry. I just want you to know that we are working on the Medicaid problem with a couple of legislators, and a couple of them, which I think like Kevin Parker, who is not even on the health committee, is really upset. His people are very upset about it, and we just not, like happened to mention it, you know. And so we have some interest now in straightening it out, and I think that probably with a few phone calls, I don't even think it's going to require a bill. Yes. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Okay, I should really move, shouldn't I? So. Yeah. Okay, so what we had is we have a situation where Medicaid, New York Medicaid, as well as several of the other Medicaids around the country, and as well as some of the insurance companies, are not willing to provide fully functional talking meters. So they'll send you a talking meter, all right, but you put the test strip in it, take your blood sugar level, and it says it, and that's it. You better not want it again ever in this world, because you aren't going to hear it again. That's all it does, is read out your reading. And so, as you know, that won't do at all. We can't report to our physicians. We can't, you can't set the time and date. Not only that, but what if you didn't catch it? What if your mind wandered for a minute? You got to do the whole thing again? Oh, good. I get to prick my finger again. How exciting. and then there are a lot of people. Hello, hold on.
Down. You can sit in this chair over here. You're looking at you're facing the camera, and you don't have to wander around. There's only five people here. It's not exactly a...
Oh, thank you.
Get up,
okay.
Feet at least.
Oh, I could live with this. Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks. I thought you were gone. All right. So, and Pam, you know what we can do? We can trade places. So I'll sit where you're sitting, and you can sit where I'm sitting when you come up. So, okay, well, we want the camera to pick you up. All right? So we need for this to be straightened out so that Medicaid, and there are other insurance companies that are not, in fact, we've even heard that recently Medicare has given some people some trouble with this. So I've gotten a lot of calls from Medicare companies. And what I do when they call me is I say, yes, please send me your free meter. And so they'll call me back, and then I'll get the information on the meter, and I'll tell them that is not a talking meter. So, of course, I don't want you to send it to me. Don't do it, because I'll let my insurance company know not to pay you. And actually, for those of you, some of you may or may not know, but I work with Advanced Diabetic Solutions. Why would I want to change? But the point is, I get to find out what they're offering. And there has been nobody who has offered either the Prodigy or the Solo. Prodigy Voice, by the way, it's got to be the Prodigy Voice or the Solo talking meter. And so it is unacceptable for them to send you a meter that just says what your blood sugar level is. So please be aware of that. Don't accept it. I would suggest strongly that you, God bless you, thank you. Please, you know, let them call you back so that you can get all the information you can. Every time you get one of these calls and says, oh, are you diabetic? Yes, I'm diabetic. We have a brandy new free meter for you we'd like to send you. Say, okay. Let me talk to somebody about it, and they'll call you back, and they'll talk to you. Find out that it's exactly what we're saying it is. Make sure it's not Solo or Prodigy Voice. And then thank them, but tell them it's not a fully talking meter. And that way you get the information. If you find anything different than what I'm telling you, we need to know that. If one of the companies is actually planning to send the Solo or the Prodigy, we need to know that, even if you decline it. Because if you're working, I say this now, and I'll say it, I can't emphasize it enough, but if you're working with Advanced Diabetic Solutions, you're not going to have any mistakes or anything like that. They're just going to get it right every time, all the time. So, and you're going to have your stuff in time. So, but I really do recommend finding out what the other companies are saying. Any thoughts or questions about this?
Yes, Wendy, I do. It's Cheryl.
Cheryl.
You had mentioned B12, which I didn't hear. What's going on with Medicare? You said that it wasn't, some Medicare patients weren't getting.
Pass that to Rocky.
I run a support group for people who are blind and visually impaired. This is Rocky. And several people who have Medicare have come to me and said that they have been told that they are not going to get the number of strips they need per month for their Prodigy, that they're getting strips, but they're only getting one box of strips per month. So if they need more than that, they're out of luck.
Can I answer that when you're done?
Yeah, sure. Because I have a person in the group who needs three boxes per month, and she's only getting the one, so she doesn't know what to do with, you know, she's got to buy them, so that's what she's been doing. But she's been told that she can't do anything about it, that she has no other option. I have other people who are on Emblem Health or on, I think it's Blue Cross, and they can't get their strips either. They are being told that they can't get their Prodigy Voice strips. I have a client who is on Medicaid as well, who has been told that she can't get any Prodigy Voice strips at all because they're no longer paying for them. So it's not just Medicaid. It's several insurance companies that are not, they are telling their clients that the strips are too expensive, and they're trying to give them, they'll give them a glucometer, but it just doesn't have the strips. You know, it doesn't provide them with the strips that talk. I mean, not the strips that talk, but the glucometer that talks and gives the readings like we want, and the memory like we need, and the date like we need. And, you know, this one client on Medicaid, she tests four times a day, and she's a very brittle juvenile diabetic. And so she's having a lot of difficulty because she can't go out on her own unless she can test during the day. And right now she can't do that.
What kind of a meter is
she using? She's using the Prodigy Voice.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we gave her one.
Well,
yeah, we gave her one, but she still can't get the strips for it.
Right.
Well,
okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you got the mic, right?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Being a is it on? Okay. Well, being in the field of being a medical biller, in the reference to Medicaid, I had found out from Advanced Diabetic Solutions through Joanna Bennis, who eventually brought that to my attention, that Medicaid wasn't paying for it, so I passed it along. In reference to Medicare, now Medicare, especially since they're durable medical supplies and they're government funded, they want, and they're, I know this from talking to Greg Santulli over at Advanced, that Medicare is actually cutting down, especially with the pharmacies and with the people like Advanced Diabetic Solutions that specialize in diabetic supplies, that they want you to keep track and your readings and pass them along to your suppliers to show how many times a day you're actually taking your finger sticks. Because if they're not seeing the records, they're not going to give them to you. It's not the person. It's not anything else. It's the government that's paying for all this. It's Medicare. Now, if they're dealing with, you know, if they're going to a place like Advanced Diabetic Solutions and not their pharmacy, with a Medicare patient, they could use any Medicare. It doesn't have to be in New York State. It could be any place that accepts Medicare. Now, I've been using Advanced Diabetic Solutions for the last 2 years, and I get enough to check my sugars six times a day because I'm now on the insulin pump and I have to check more, so I'm not up and down. But I send, every time I get a new refill, I always send Greg my finger readings. So that's one thing with Medicare. Medicaid, I have no idea. Some of the insurance companies, because Medicaid is not paying for it, then they're going to jump on the boat and say, well, we shouldn't have to pay for this either. So it's good that we're starting here, at least here in New York, to try to get a resolution going on to pass this. And it should all, they're going to have resolutions on Sunday morning, and I'm going to talk to David about adding all insurance companies and not just Medicaid. And I was talking to Pamela from ADS, and we need the numbers to actually show how many of these insurance companies and Medicaid are not paying for this, because we could, you know, tell our legislators and assemblymen, and they could be on board with it, but when it comes right down to it, we need to show the numbers of the patients that are not getting these things. So I hope it helps a little bit of what I said.
So what I would suggest then, let's just put something in place. If any of you hear about this, whether it's from for yourself or somebody else, if you would call the office and let Linda know, and I will let her know that we need to document this so she can keep a record. Every time you see this happening, we need to know. Do we need to know the person's name or just...
No, because that's against HIPAA laws. If you, like I said, if we talk to Greg and Jordan to say, look, because they have to keep record, they don't have to give us the names of their patients. They could say which insurance company is not paying for it and how many clients of those companies are not paying for it. Plus, the insurance companies and Medicaid have to give a documented reason why they're not paying for it. They just can't say, we're denying it. They have to have a reason for a denial. Maybe the person that actually put it in the system put it in wrong. Or maybe they didn't have the paperwork indicating that the person's blind and needs to use this. Or the doctor didn't write up the script correctly. So you need to be dealing with a reliable medical supply company that's been doing this. Like I said, I can only go by Advanced Diabetic Solutions, but if you're dealing with a reputable, you know, supplier, they should be doing the paperwork right and does keep a track of the demographics of which insurance company is not paying for. Like if it's 1,000 Medicaid clients, you don't need the names, you just need to know why they're not, the explanation of why they're not paying for it. And no, you just need to know how many people in each state is not doing it. It may not just be here in New York. It may be all over the country.
Cheryl, it's Pamela Bain. I just want to clarify a little things. I don't have that much experience about insurance billing and Medicare billing. However, what I found out there on the field, based on what most of my clients are telling me, first of all, I want to clarify that there are restrictions in certain insurance coverage plan. There are restrictions on Medicare Part A and B. Now, not necessarily just because a person has Medicare, they can automatically get any medical supplies they can have. Some of those Medicare Part A and B, they have HMO, and those HMO coverage is what restricts them from getting certain supplies. Those are the other areas that most people are having problems as well. Private health insurance, however, if they're not within our network, those are the other areas that they're not going to get covered for supplies. Now, my question is, what paperwork do we need in order for us to provide, get them approved?
Like with ADS.
With ADS.
Okay, example like with ADS.
Yeah, talk into that mic.
you guys keep any pharmacy, any medical supply company has to keep its records for at least 7 years. So you should automatically Correct. Have in your billing computer system, you know, the list of your clients. Like I said, we don't need the names because Correct. That's against the law to give out that information.
Okay.
But you could give the demographics, the age groups, and how many, let's say it's Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or it's Medicaid, or it's Medicare. You could put it in the system, and it could be broken down to how many of those are being denied for what reason. If they're just saying, if Medicaid is denying them, but they're not giving it a reason, or we don't cover blind, you know, these because they're for blind people and we don't cover it, we need to know reasoning, like I said, in the software that they use to bill the insurance companies. There's an area of in the memo area as to why it's being denied.
Okay, so we need to get those out and pass it.
See if ADS will allow us to have those, at least those numbers. So if we're speaking to a senator or an assemblyman or something like that, that we have proof to show them, look, hey, this is not being covered.
I just want to pass this on to you. And as I mentioned to you earlier while I was talking to you, how I am connected to App State Joslyn Center. And I have the backup with the director. They are using our meter, mm-hmm. and they're on whatever we need for Medicaid to get that approved to pay for the solo meter. Mm-hmm. They will help us. So if we can, whatever paperwork they need from Joslyn Center, I can ask them.
Oh, okay, that sounds great.
Yes.
But then we have the problem. That's with Medicare, but what about the problems with Medicaid?
Medicaid. I'm talking Medicaid.
Oh, okay.
I don't have the, we don't have the problems with Medicare, but Medicaid is being denied. And that's one of the problems that I have with Joslyn Center. They have a lot of Medicaid patients. And every meter they give out, they're calling me. I want my strips. I want my needles. I can't. There's nothing I can do. So
that's why we need to get in touch.
So I have, Joslyn Center director saying, "What do we need? What do you need from us in order for Medicaid to approve, so we can provide all this Medicaid, New York Medicaid, diabetics to use your solo meter?"
So you're asking us this question?
Yes. What do we need from Joslyn Center to help us get this through?
Okay, I know what the I have a sense of what the Joslyn Center is, but I'm not understanding the question. The Joslyn Center wants to make some kind of match with Medicaid to make sure that things get paid for. Is that what you're asking?
Exactly.
Okay, she says yes. That's what she's asking. So what? Well. Right now, Joslyn Center is having the same problem that the rest of the world is having with Medicaid, which is that Medicaid doesn't want to pay for this. And actually, we know that these meters are not more expensive than the meters that sighted people would get. So we have a bit of a fight on our hands, but I think that we've gotten a few of the legislators to understand what's going on, and I think that they're not understanding the problem. So they're looking into it, and but what I would like to do is I would like to have people who are denied, who are blind now, okay? That's the important thing. If somebody is blind and is denied the strips that they need or the needles or the number, even if they're just getting one bottle of strips and their doctor's prescribing three a month, or eight, I don't care how many, if the doctor is prescribing it and Medicaid is denying it, and we need to know what's going on there. But it's really important that we know that everything was done correctly. So, but I would like to have a record of those people. I would like I would like, if you know about it, if you would call our office and say, whoops, there goes another one. We just had another complaint about Medicaid not paying for the prescribed number of strips. I think what Cheryl is saying is that that would be enough information for us to present, that these are the logged complaints that we've had. So if you can call our office, and our office is the NFB of New York, and the office is 718-567-7821. Maybe. That's 718. Oh, wait a minute. I'll call. I didn't catch who called me. 718-567-7821. Who called for the floor?
Mike did.
Oh, sorry. Mike, please.
You've got a couple of people.
I thought you were doing eBay.
I was. You got a couple of people listening. You might want to give the email address if they want to send you an email.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Mike's telling me that there are a few people listening. The email address here at the office, or, well, it's not here. We're not
here. Now.
Oh, okay. Convention at NFB, that's National Federation of the Blind, is what it stands for, ny.org. Convention at nfbny.org. So feel free to email us anything about that so that we can log all of this in. Any questions from the floor?
I had a question.
Could you pass Rocky that mic, Cheryl?
This question is for Cheryl. Cheryl, in the past, Medicaid, if someone was being denied some type of service, let's say certain amount of treatments or whatever, the doctor could write a letter that specified exactly what this patient needed, and Medicaid would approve it. I'm wondering if that same process needs to take place now with someone who needs, say, I don't know, 4 boxes of strips per month, let's say, and the doctor specifies that this person is blind, this person can't take their own medication, this person needs to be able to test on a regular basis at certain times of the day. If the doctor were to write something like this and put it, you know, submit it to Medicaid on the Medicaid form as used to be required, would Medicaid agree to pay for pay for the strips under those circumstances? Because it's not just the solo, it's the prodigy as well. And some people have the solo and use the solo strips, and some people have the prodigy and use the prodigy strips, right? So I'm wondering if that process still exists. If the doctor does all of that and the paperwork is submitted, would Medicaid approve that patient to get the strips as they need them? Or would that have to be done on a monthly basis?
Okay, since I'm going to assume yes, and only because in the past with anything, with Medicaid, even though it's on prescription, they need more information in writing. I would try that first, but the first denial should say, need more information from doctor. So we need to know why they're denying it in the first place. If they're just being denied and not giving a reason why, then we need to question it. If they're denying it because we need more information from the physician, then yes, then doctor should write it in. But you first need to know why they're denying it first, and then the next step should be to send the letter to the from the doctor. But the first step is to find out why they're denying it.
So I think what we're saying here is before you send the office documentation, please make sure that your doctor has informed Medicaid that you are a blind patient and that all of the paperwork has been done correctly. Let me say, however, that I have a client, one that I can think of right now without even thinking about it, who is very meticulous about everything. I mean, this lady spends her time making sure that people get their rights, including herself. And she she knows, she's very careful, and she's still being denied after a year and a half. So, yeah, I think that it's there are those cases, but let's be sure before we report them that the correct actions have been taken. Cheryl?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, what I was going to say also is please do not be afraid to ask your doctors why something's not being approved or the pharmacy, because that's your right to know. Okay, some doctors or some staff members at doctor's offices or pharmacy will just say, well, it's just being denied and we don't know why. The doctor has to find out, or the pharmacist, why it's being denied. They just can't say Medicaid's denying it or Medicare's denying it. You need a reason for denial. And if there's no reason for a denial, then the doctor and the pharmacist have to get together and contact Medicaid or Medicare or whatever insurance company and get it in writing as to why. So that way we know a reason why it's not being denied. I'm sure that, like you said, your friend is very meticulous, but she has to have documented, even like we have to document everything. You have to get everything documented from the pharmacist, the doctor, or the medical supply company has to give you a reason why it's being denied, and they can give it to you in writing. So I just want to make that point out there.
Excellent. Okay, are there any other questions on this issue? Because we do have Pam here to speak to us. Elaine? Yeah, please.
I am not using the Solo meter. I like the Prodigy. I have several boxes of test strips that expire in November. If anybody wants them, I am more than willing to share.
And they're Solo, right?
They're Solo.
Between Rocky and I, we give them to a lot of people. So anytime you find yourself with extra strips, if you can just throw them in the mail to me and just let me know when they expire, or to Rocky, because we constantly have to give them out to people. There are constantly people saying, I can't get my strips for one reason or another. And so we're always giving out. I'm giving out meters and strips a lot. I'm absolutely out of meters and strips right now to give out. So if you have a few boxes of strips, I'll be glad to get them. Thanks.
Them.
Oh, great. Thank you. So I would like to say a few words about the organization that I'm about to introduce and the lady from that organization. I too have been working with Advanced Diabetic Solutions, and I'm thinking probably at least 2 years, maybe three. I can't quite remember. I met them in New Jersey several years ago, and it was a match made in heaven then, and it has remained so. Not only do I think that this is a business with heart, but I think that it's an efficient business with heart. Advanced Diabetic Solutions is a sponsor of this 2011 NFB State Convention, and it makes me very proud to know that, and that's on, you know, as a result of our division, and we have Cheryl to thank for pushing me. on that, but I'm very proud of it. And I would like to say that if you are not working with Advanced Diabetic Solutions and your insurance company, you know, is working with you, fine. But they worked with GHI Medicare, which is mine, and there hasn't been a problem. I used to have problems. Sometimes the drugstores would call me and say, you know, we don't have any of those strips. Can we send you this instead? And, you know, I never have any of that trouble at all. And Advanced Diabetic Solutions works on many levels. And so each year they have sent us somebody to speak with us, and it's always been informative. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from our current speaker, Pamela Baines. Pam was going to come a couple of years ago, and we didn't give her enough notice. But this year she is here. She's going to talk to us a little bit about Advanced Diabetic Solutions and the services there. But she's also going to talk to us about some other things that we talked about diet and complications. And I would like you to throw one more thing in there, Pam, if you will, and that is, what can the Joslin Institute do for us, and under what circumstances would we go there or be referred there?
Okay, I just want to briefly explain. I think there's a few people that I have talked to about this morning are not even aware of Joslin Center is. What Joslin Center is a center for diabetics specifically, and majority of diabetics, juvenile diabetes and adult diabetes, pretty much gets referred to go to Joslin Center. Joslin Center, I have been working with Joslin Center for at least a year and a half now. And actually, I've been working with Advanced Diabetic Solutions for 2.5 years almost. I actually started giving them the Prodigy meters. Back then, they liked the Prodigy meters. However, we had to try and have everybody try the Solo meters. So this year, what's happening is they've continued and distribute the Solo meters, but with all the Medicaid patients, they're getting frustrated because none of those Medicaid patients that are using the Solo meters cannot get any strips. As far as Joslin Center can support us or back up, if we need some kind of support, paperwork that we need for Medicaid to get this approved so none of those Medicaid clients were having any problem getting the Solo supplies, Joslin Center are willing to help us with that area.
You need to pay for them?
They will help us process whatever paperwork we need for Medicaid to get to approve.
Hold on a minute. There's a static in that mic, and I'm wondering what's going on there. Do you know what it is, Mike?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
It's gone.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So.
Well, what would the Joslin Center do for us if we were referred there?
In regards to being a diabetic.
Yeah.
They will provide you whatever treatments you need necessary. It's a state facility. So I don't really know what the requirements are in order for a specific person to get into Joslin facility. They have certain requirements for you to be able to get in there. That you have to call diabetes has to call and ask how they can get in there and utilize the services that you Joslin Center have. It is in Upstate University. It's an outpatient for diabetics. It's in Syracuse. Yes. Yes.
In Syracuse. Okay.
Yes.
But if we were referred to them, what would they do for us?
They will provide medical treatment. They specialize in diabetics. So in general, they're endocrinologists. They're just an outpatient from the hospital. See, if you go to the hospital, they're outpatient diabetic program that diabetics go to. They have a lot of different programs for diabetics. They have diabetic educators. They have podiatrists. They have physical therapists. Yes.
Oh, okay. So as I'm understanding it, they deal with all of the complications as well as education and treatment for diabetics who are referred there. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, very good. Thanks for answering that. And now I'll let you get on to talking about what you were going to talk about today.
Well, I'm not really well prepared of what I was going to talk about this today, but I'm here to just present for the company, and it's an honor for me to be here today, and this is my first time here, so I'm kind of just getting to know everybody and answer all the questions that you may have possible. If I have the answers, I will answer, and if I don't have the answer, then I'll do my research and get back to you on that one if I don't have the answer. So yeah.
Okay, the question was, because Cheryl didn't have the mic, what products, beside the meters, does ADS deal with?
ADS is a durable medical equipment company, which we carry two different variety of products. We have the Solo V2. We also have the diabetic shoes. Thank you, Cheryl, for reminding me on that one. The diabetic shoes, however, is the other product that I do promote for ADS. The diabetic shoe program is actually a Medicare program it's actually out there for all diabetics to utilize to save them from having problems on their feet, and it's to prevent having an amputation in the long run. It is actually their custom-made orthotics, custom-fitted shoes, and what we usually do, it's we have them pre-qualified first. We make sure that the patient's qualified first before we go ahead and order the shoe. We do have other products. We do have pharmacy too. We do have some medications. We ship out medications. We bill insurance, but then again, we have to get that approved first. And
are your medications all diabetic related?
We do have majority, yes, but we have a pharmacy, so we pretty much have whatever medications a person required.
Do you have you also do still sell the Prodigy, so you can still buy the strips from ADS, right?
We still have the Prodigy, yes. You can still get the strips, yes.
And I know you still you can still order the Prodigy glucometer, because I ordered one not too long ago, maybe in May. I think
it's
May.
Yeah, it's still available.
And it's still available, so it's still going to continue to be available. Is that correct?
Yes, the problem with that is, I think, is because Medicaid is no longer going to pay for the strips. That's what we are trying to have people convert to Solo meter. The voice meter, actually, we're working on that.
Okay, I'm not understanding. So the Medicaid will pay for the Prodigy strips, but not for the Prodigy voice meter. Is that it?
No.
They'll pay for the meter, but not for the strips?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh! Is that
yes?
Is that
the strips. I'm not quite sure how much the strips is.
The strips are more than the meter.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, Rocky is saying the strips are more than the meter, so they'll pay for the meter but not the strips. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so this is what happened last year. When we were distributing the voice meter, we have to get certain prescription. We have to get a note from the optometrist or ophthalmologist for us to be able to bill the strips. We have to have the certain paperwork that went through last year. So those ones that gotten approved last year, I think they're okay this year, but I'm not quite sure where we're at right now with that situation on paperwork. But the voice meter had to have an ophthalmologist note stating that, yes, this person is a visual impaired, legally blind. There was another kind of prodigy, which is the standard one. It's for everybody. That did not need anything else. It did get approved.
Right, but that doesn't mean anything to us since we can't really use it. I mean, I think the thing that people need to understand is that if we have to document our records for our blood sugar levels, then we have to have the same access, thank you, to the meters that sighted people have. And so I guess that's, I think, what we're going to have to be talking about with the legislators. And like I say, I mean, we'll have resolutions that will get sent all around. And remind me, Cheryl, because I have the completed resolutions on my computer, and I'll just add the words that you said, but just remind me when we leave, and I'll put them in there, so when they get read, they'll be there. Elaine, sure.
Are sighted people required to provide all of this documentation, and are sighted people being denied the payment for the strips? If so, it is blatant. If not, it is blatant discrimination against the blind.
Couldn't agree with you more. And that's why, you know, NFB of New York is getting into it. It's not just the Diabetic Action Network of New York. It's going to be the affiliate standing behind us on this, and we've already gotten some support. So we will continue to push buttons on this issue. My other question left my head. All right. Oh, no, it came back. Phew. Was there a problem? I seem to recall talking to Jordan, and I want to say a word about that. I seem to recall that there was a problem about the newer Prodigy voice meters, that they were testing inconsistently and quite often low. I spoke to Jerry Mondi about this at National Convention, and he said that they were looking into it. But I think it's pretty important that we clarify that. Is that still the case? Are we still finding that? Because if they are testing low, then particularly type 1 diabetics are going to be in trouble, and type 2 diabetics who think that our blood sugar levels are normal, and they may not be because we're getting too low a test. I think it's really important that we know that. So, Pam, can you tell us, do you know anything about that situation?
Yeah, well, I have not heard about that situation about being inaccurate testing with the Prodigy meters. I came into the company, I think it was only a year when we had the Prodigy meters, and they just told me that we're no longer distributing the Prodigy meters. As far as being inaccurate, no, I was not aware of that.
The older meters were smaller and incredibly cute. They played a little music when they got started. Now, I don't care about the music thing. I actually like it better without it. I just want it fast. Tell me to put my strip in and I'm ready to go. But what I did like about them is that they were smaller, and I believe my older Prodigy voice units are more more consistent with my solo meters. So, but I actually do have a Prodigy voice, one of the newer ones, the bigger ones, without the music, that are perfectly consistent with my solo meter. So I just wondered, I thought I remembered, having spoken to Jordan about it, I thought I remembered that there was some problem with that, and I don't know if anybody else in the division knows anything about that.
The bigger, the solo meter, actually, what this one is, this is a bigger screen.
Okay, I got it.
And it's a lot easier to use. It's user friendly. It's a lot easier to read, whereas the other one has a smaller screen.
Okay, I understand. I actually found the Prodigy Voice incredibly easy to use, so I never noticed that there was a problem with that. But I can understand it if we're talking about a bigger screen. Does that make a difference to you, Cheryl?
Well, I use the Solo Meter. I stopped using Prodigy about a year and a half ago. But I know, and we were supposed to get the update in Orlando, but the newer ones, there were some buttons that weren't working properly, and like the date and stuff, they were flush. You couldn't feel what they were. And I know the newer models are much more consistent with the software, too. The software is much more updated, where you can actually email your doctor or your diabetic educator straight from the software online and not have to download it and print it out and all that. The newest software actually allows you to email it to your doctor.
Which one is this, the Prodigy or the Solo?
Solo Meter.
The Prodigy had that too.
Yes.
Yes.
But I know the Solo Meter, the newer one that's being tested now, has the updated software.
All right.
Okay. What are you saying? The Solo, the newer one that's coming up.
Yeah.
The one that hasn't come out yet.
The one they've been testing for the last umpteen months, and
yeah,
they've been beta testing it, and so yeah. But that will be a nice thing. But like Pam's saying, the Prodigy also made that possible. And I understand that with the new one, actually, the records will be sent directly. If you want to, they'll automatically be sent to your doctor. So I guess maybe, you know, that's an advantage. But I guess for my part, I'd rather have control over that. I mean, they're going to get there anyway, but...
Okay. I want to add to being inaccurate when testing the strips. Now, actually, the Prodigy and the Solo V2, it actually will tell you if there's inaccurate blood on the strips. There is a trick, which I showed to Rocky. Hopefully, this will work for people that are hard and difficult to draw blood out of them. The strips actually will just saturate the blood by pointing it down, not up.
Really?
Okay. And Rocky and I spent time doing this little trick. Rocky is a typical example. When people are testing, they don't realize how actually the blood gets into the strip. When you put the strip on the blood, the strip will actually suck it automatically. If you do it upside down, there's a time difference for the blood to drop down all the way to the strips. By the time it gets to that level, the machine will automatically default by saying insufficient blood. That's a little trick there. Now, with the Solo V2 machine itself, when you put the strip in halfway through, the machine will automatically turn it on. That doesn't necessarily mean that the strip is on there properly. You have to feel, when you put the strip in, you have to feel that lock in. You have to feel that click. Because what happens with that is, if the strip is not on the machine properly, when you put your blood in, it's not going to read properly. It's either going to read high or low, or it's going to tell you insufficient blood.
I don't understand, though, if you're holding the test strip upside down, doesn't gravity have anything to do with this thing?
No, because the strips, I just found it myself that the strips works better. It sucks the blood a lot quicker by putting on your finger upside down, because what happens is when you put the strip right on your finger, it's the strips is designed to draw the blood, not wait for the blood to get down to the bottom. I mean, I don't know. That's just the way it is.
All right, I'm game.
It's a little trick. Try it. Just try it. Also, I said to Rocky, like, when you test your finger, before you poke your finger, just rub it a few times. Just rub it, just to get the circulation going. Little things like that. You know, you don't have to poke your finger 3-4 times.
Are you kidding me? I rub my finger for 2 minutes before I... Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Wash it with warm water first.
Yeah, that too. Oh, what was the name of that cream? Oh, gosh, I don't have it in front of me. Jordan told me about a cream. I'll look it up.
He told me about that cream.
He did. That's when he told us about it. That's right.
I can't think of the cream right now.
But in any event, I'll look that up if while somebody else is talking. I'll go over and get the device and look it up. So I have another question about that, and I wonder what other people's experience with it is. I can usually tell where exactly the blood is or when I prick my finger. But there are times when I miss it completely. And I remember that Advanced Diabetic Solutions was considering or was looking at the possibility of finding some kind of small device that would enable you to put your finger on this device and stick it and then use your meter directly in the spot. And I wondered if you guys had made any progress on that.
Not that I've heard of. I'm not aware of that yet.
Okay. All right. Was there something else that you wanted to address with us today about complications?
Yes. I just want to, you know, being a diabetic, although there are a lot of diabetics out there, but they're not really well aware how critical diabetes is. And very much, unfortunately, it will affect every single organ of your body. So it is very important to take care of yourself. And my best recommendation is seek to your family care physician. I would tell my clients, if they come up to me and say, what can I do with my diet, I would recommend to see a diabetic educator. Diet and exercise helps your sugar level. You know, there's a lot of complications. As we all know, vision is one, is the number one cause of, you know, diabetics. That's blindness. So we all know that. Kidney failure, neuropathy, circulation. And this is where my diabetic shoe comes in. What happens is when you have poor circulation on your feet, you can't feel anything. You know, you might be walking around your house and bare feet, and you step on something and you don't even notice it. Next thing you know, it's infected. So it's very, very, very important, you know, to wear shoes. Just protect your feet, even if you're in a house, especially for those ones that has, you know, really, really poor circulation. I want to share this with you based on my experience 6 months ago. And I was heartbroken when one of my patients ended up having an amputation. This is how serious and quick it happened. He went, I mean, he went into using an infrared sauna for 15 minutes. And what happened was, is it wasn't, you know, it wasn't even that much of a radiation that he was using. His feet got exposed way too long, more than 20 minutes, and he ended up having infection. To cut long story short, he ended up having amputation below the knee 3 months after for no apparent reason, just for that. So circulation, taking care of your feet is very, very important being a diabetic. I will always tell people, you know, it's very, very critical. Little cut on your toes, you have to take care of it. Go and see your doctor, because little cut could lead to worse situation if you don't take care of it. So besides from that, you know, it affects your hearing, cardiovascular disease, heart attack, stroke, you know. So what I would coach my clients pretty much is to make them aware how important it is to take care of yourselves. Although you have diabetes, that doesn't necessarily mean that you just, you know, not gonna worry about it. You still have to take care. You can control it by diet, exercise, just walking on a daily basis, things like that. Just try to keep active. That's it. So
diabetes affects your hearing?
Oh, yes. Yes, it will.
Well, okay. Didn't realize that.
Yes.
Auditory,
vision, kidney. It affects every single organ in your body. It will slowly. People just don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How does skin problems relate to diabetes?
Can you ask that in mic? Okay. I can't hear you.
I'm concerned about skin problems and how it relates to diabetes.
Actually, she didn't get into the mic. So the question is, how do skin problems relate to diabetes?
Okay. Diabetes and the skin is, first of all, a lot of diabetes, if you notice, have crackling skin. Redness has a lot to do with, of course, your circulation, your diet. Again, why diabetes has dry skin? It's just, you know, it's just how the body works. It's pretty much it. So.
Well, it's on. From what I learned, because I know Pamela is also an RN, was studying to be an RN. I was also in the learning the medical field as well, being a medical specialist. Is that your skin is one of your seven parts of your body? So when you're missing some kind of vitamin or something in your system, your skin is going to become dried out. Your dermis and epidermis is going to be dried out. You could get psoriasis of your skin and all that. So when you have diabetes, the sugar elevates all your different enzymes and different vitamins in your body. So your doctor's always telling you to have more vitamin D or more vitamins to supplement it. So when your blood sugar gets too high or too low, it sets off your vitamin deficiency in your body, and that's how you get dry skin. If you notice you're getting very, very dry skin, you need make sure you're keeping track of your blood sugars and make sure you're having vitamin D, and ask your doctor if you're let them do a metabolic panel on you and see if you're missing any enzymes in your body. So that way he'll recommend for you to take vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin C, and you should slowly see a difference in it.
Okay. Like I said, diabetes affects. Now remember this. Diabetes affects every single organ of your body. What organ in your body filtrates every single toxins in there? It's your liver, right? So if your liver is not working properly, you're going to have dry skin. It's not filtering all the toxins out of there. Pancreas is not working. Livers, kidneys not working. That's just how the process go in the whole entire disease in your body. A lot of people just do not realize it, unfortunately. But some people are worse than others, and some people aren't. So eventually, you know, if you have diabetes, unfortunately, you are diabetic. You're going to have complications at some point, whether it's your liver, it's your heart, it's your kidney, your eyes, and like I said, hearing, a lot of people don't realize it does affect your hearing too. Yes, circulation is the big thing.
Okay, any other questions? Well, is there anything else that you wanted to cover, Pam?
I think, Cheryl, is there anything I forgot? Help me out here. Help me out here. I just want to thank you again for having me here. Although, thank you, Mindy, for my preparation by telling me today. Mindy asked me, she didn't really ask me, actually. She told me that I was supposed to be doing
right.
this.
Right. I didn't realize that she didn't know, but what happened was I had all kinds of information about Pam except her number and email address and all that until last week. And by last week, I was so swamped, I actually lost the email with it. I've been searching all over, and I kept saying, I got to email Tina and get her to resend that. But I've just been this. It just all happened this week, so I didn't get to her. And my apologies. I just
not a problem.
That's why she said that. She had one conversation with me, and usually, you know, when we have speakers, I speak with them quite a bit.
Yeah, we had a 2-minute conversation, and that was it. And I'm trying to do my best I can, and I hope I did well. And
you
again,
did great.
And I did again. I am honored to be here, and hopefully I can come back here next year.
Uh-huh. We'll be glad to have you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Rocky?
Pam, this is Rocky.
Yes.
Pam spent a lot of time with me this morning helping me with the solo meter. She showed me how the buttons work, how long I have to hold the buttons, how to set the date and the time and the year, and how to make sure that I'm using the unit correctly. And I just want to tell you, if you do everything that way, Pam, that's excellent. So thank you so much. I really appreciate the time you spent this morning. I really do. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, and Pam will be with us through tomorrow, and I think you're coming to the banquet, right?
Yes, I am.
So she'll be speaking to the convention tomorrow, and so she'll be with us in the room quite a bit. You can always go to her and talk with her, and I guess she'll spend the last hour or so in the exhibit hall, so if you want to go by and get fitted for shoes or if you'd like to just have her work with you on the solo meter or any of that, you know, please feel free to go by your table. Is there anything else that members would like to or guests would like to have covered this afternoon? Well, hearing nothing, then I wanted to put in my own thanks, Pam, for your good-natured acceptance of all of this, and to say thank you so much, and to all the rest of you, thank you for coming this afternoon, and we will see you around the convention. Happy and healthy living, everyone. The meeting is adjourned.